It's been 5 years since Buffy the Vampire Slayer left her viewers shocked, moved, and utterly confused. To save her sister, and the rest of the world for that matter, Buffy leaped into the portal to hell.
Don, listen to me. Listen. I love you. I will always love you. This is the work that I have to do. Tell Giles, I figured it out, and I'm okay.
Well, Buffy came back to life on another network, though she was confused for a little while. It was a classic example of the TV phenomenon known as the season finale. Can anybody top it? Well, now's the time to find out. Lost, Grey's Anatomy, CSI New York, just a few of the shows that are wrapping up with a bang in some cases and with a whimper in others. What makes a good season finale? What's your favorite? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. Joining us now by phone is Jonathan Storm. He watches television in Berkeley, California, and reports on it for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks a lot, Neil.
Well, before we get on to the greatest list, talk about what's coming up. What finales are you waiting for?
Well, I'm waiting very patiently and expectantly for the finale of Alias, which is the finale of the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a show that it's one of the more complicated and goofy TV shows of all time. And there are so many questions that are hanging out there. The producers have promised to ask them all in the show finale, which is now very different from a season finale. In the show finale, you want to wrap it all up and answer all the questions. In the season finale, you want to make a whole bunch of new questions.
Well, in the show finale, they had the benefit of knowing it was going to be the show's final episode. Sometimes producers don't have that luxury.
No, and sometimes the networks really diss the viewers by taking a show that's supposed to have a long run. There was a show this year, somebody got murdered, and it was a flashback, and each year was one episode, and at the end we were going to find out who murdered the person and everything, and they just canceled the show after about six episodes, so nobody knows who got murdered or who did it, and nobody really cares.
Well, that was kind of the problem with the show to begin with, I suspect. But basically it seems that there are two different kinds, as you say. The show finale, that's sort of separate, but if it's a series that is either definitely coming back or hopes to come back for next year, there seems to be two different kinds of approaches, one of which is, well, for Survivor or something like that, there's not a lot of suspense. We know who won.
Yes.
But on a lot of these scripted series, you want to have that cliffhanger, and I guess everybody's trying to channel who shot JR.
Well, exactly. The all-time classic cliffhanger that people got so crazy over the summer to figure out who shot JR, and when Dallas came back that fall, it was an even bigger phenomenon than it had been. Of course, the only show that was really capable of totally channeling that wonderful cliffhanger was The Simpsons. And somebody in 1995 shot Mr. Burns, the evil nuclear power plant owner. And you had to wait all summer to find out who it was. And even when the show came back, you didn't find out. You had to watch very closely to learn that it was the little baby Simpson, Maggie.
Now, you're giving it away for some people who weren't tuned in and haven't seen it on the 87 times it's been repeated. I think, wasn't that the occasion on which they issued that poster of every character in The Simpsons because everybody was a suspect?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. The Simpsons is beyond television. It's a national institution.
Well, let's get some listeners on the line if you have questions about what makes a good season finale or perhaps even a series finale. Give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, the email address, talk@npr.org. Brian's calling from Syracuse, New York.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I'm a big fan of Grey's Anatomy. Just seems to me that it's a showcase for people acting badly, especially in the season finale, where Meredith and Dr. McDreamy can't keep their hands off each other, even though they've made decisions to go in other directions. Dr. Stevens, of course, ready to throw her medical career away to save the guy she's in love with. And Dr. McDreevy's wife, whose name escapes me, throwing a fit in front of all those people that she surely could have seen if she just took a look to the left.
Well, moved by the situation and no doubt the script. Jonathan Storm, I guess Grey's Anatomy is one of the biggest hits on TV at this point.
It is currently the biggest hit on broadcast TV, yes.
And Brian, when you said it was a showcase for bad acting, do you mean characters behaving badly, or do you mean the acting was terrible?
Yep. No, I said people acting badly, meaning behaving badly.
Yeah.
The acting's fine. That show is just such a medical hospital shows. It makes you want to never get sick to watch these shows. ER and Grey's Anatomy. They're just. They're almost the lowest of the low. And I think that's why everybody loves them. Dr. McDreamy is married. Give me a break.
All right, Brian. Thanks very much for the call.
You bet.
All right. And, of course, we still have to await other medical shows. House, I guess, is the other one that's become something of a success on TV, on Fox.
Yes. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure what the status of the House season finale is. I wanted to go back to just talk about, I think, the classic show, which is now, thank goodness, never going to appear again on television, The West Wing, one of the most appalling television shows in history, in my opinion. Every year had ridiculous cliffhangers. The first season, people get shot. Then the second season... that's the first season. President Bartlett turns out to have multiple sclerosis, or maybe it's the second season. I can't keep up. The first season, the white supremacists take over the whole West Wing. The third season, they kill Mark Harmon. I mean, and people keep holding up this show as a paragon of great drama. Give me a break. It's a crappy soap opera.
Let's talk with Christian. Christian, with us on the phone from St. Louis.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'll disagree with the West Wing season.
Everybody who listens to NPR will disagree.
I really enjoyed those. Anyway, the one season finale that really got me hanging on by my fingernails was the one in the Next Generation. I think it was the third season of the Next Generation, Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
Picard is assimilated into the Borg.
The classic best of both worlds.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's. Some people, I mean, a lot of people who are just total television freaks and in a sci-fi world think that's the best cliffhanger that's ever been. And it was voted the best episode ever of Star Trek: The Next Generation.
I think actually 7 of 9 people voted to say it was the best ever.
Oh, that's good.
Well, thank you. It's chilling, the idea that Jean-Luc would be there in the control of the Borg all summer long, or whenever it was that Next Generation.
I don't think it was a summer, but yeah. Whatever it was.
Yeah,
I think it was 4 Galacticon centuries.
All right, Christian, thanks very much for the call.
Right, thank you.
Bye bye.
What's going to happen tomorrow night with Inspector Brass, who's now lying on the floor choking in his blood on CSI?
Who knows? They're constructing these season finales. This is a 2-part season finale. Come on.
After 50 Cent, he doesn't die.
50 Cent, he doesn't die. Mark Harmon, as you pointed out, what's her name? Craig was in love with. He died.
Everybody, all the girls that watched that show were in love with him, and he did die.
Yeah, and I guess that is after Who Shot J.R. and of course Mr. Burns as well, as you've pointed out, that's the classic. You have somebody on life support the whole summer long.
And in the modern day, people are more likely to actually die. I mean, look at Lost. They kill the characters. 24, the wonderful Edgar,
mm-hmm.
lies there flopping on the floor, breathing in the nerve gas.
And that wasn't even saved until the season finale. He died
hardly a season finale. 24 is pretty good with the season finales. President Palmer got the poison handshake in season 2, and then last year, of course, Jack Bauer was finished. He was gone. He was invisible. He moved to Mexico. He'd never to be seen again. And whoop, there he comes back. And the Chinese, who were going to attack the United States because Jack Bauer had killed their ambassador, somehow they haven't quite figured it out yet.
Well, the signals are very hard to reach. It's a long way to get across the ocean like that.
I think Chloe is jamming all the radar.
That could be. Whatever crisis I'm in, and if I have to go away for the whole summer, I want Chloe on my side.
Oh, you bet.
We're talking with Jonathan Storm, the TV critic of the Philadelphia Inquirer. He's on the line with us from Berkeley. We're talking today about great season television show finales, whether they're show finales or season finales. If you'd like to join the conversation, 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's talk now. Oops, hit the wrong button there. Let's talk with Anthony. Anthony's calling from Kansas City.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
Sure.
Sure. I wanted to say that I have to say one of my favorite series finale would have to be The 6 Feet Under that was shown on HBO.
Oh.
Just amazing the way that they had the whole show close up. There was so much closure, you know,
unusual that the producers are that good at wrapping things and giving so many good answers. It's a real testament to that show that they were able to do that, because that show kind of was about 4 feet under for a couple of its last seasons before it came back.
And they literally buried the main character.
Everybody has their shows. My current favorite is Alias.
Can you keep all of that stuff straight?
Huh?
Can you keep all of those characters straight?
Yes. You have to watch every week, though. It was fun last year. Just as we learned that, you know, Jennifer Garner's new husband or father of her child was not who he was supposed to be, was one of the great car crashes in TV history. A complete, talk about being blindsided. You know, and then in the second season, poor Sydney, she just wakes up and discovers that she's been missing for 2 years. And we have to wait all summer to find out, well, what's up with that?
Well, I guess now we're going to have to wait the rest of our lives to find out what happens to them.
No, they're going to. They promised that it's on Monday, and they have 2 hours, and they promise to wrap it up. And they also beg you not to watch the 24 finale. Good luck.
Good luck with that. Has anybody ever ended a series or threatened to end a season with, you know, and then they got hit by a giant tidal wave or the entire cast was wiped out?
The famous Moldavian Massacre. Dynasty, one of the kookiest season enders of all time, all very high on the all time crazy list, where they're all off in this foreign country having a party, and then everybody gets shot up. Who dies and who doesn't?
Anthony, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you so much.
Bye bye. Let's get Ann on the line. Ann, with us from Novato, California.
Hi.
California, Nevada?
I'm sorry, California. It's in the Bay Area.
And she's got another little critic there with her. So go ahead, Ann. he does what most of us do when we watch a lot of television programs: cry. So.
Well, I just had a comment. I was a big, big fan of the Gilmore Girls.
Uh huh.
Yes.
It was sort of a guilty pleasure for me. And this year, the season finale, I will never watch the show again.
Oh no.
I was so disappointed.
A lot of people say that this year that they were disappointed because Lorelai hopped back into bed with Chris, who is the father of Rory. But the
right.
whole point of that is that just sets up next year where she'll hop out of the bed and run after Luke. Scott Patterson's been signed for next year. He'll be around. Rory's boyfriend went off to Europe. He'll be back. For me, that just made me more interested in what's going to happen.
But I just loved Luke and Lorelai so much. It was so hard to see that.
Life is hard.
I know.
Gilmore, it's totally a real show. Everything on it is based in fact. All those people wandering around the little gazebo in that town, they're all real.
Of course they are, and I would love to live in Stars Hollow if I could.
Wouldn't we all?
Yeah.
I'd want to live right next door to Miss Patty.
Yeah.
The wonderful 350-pound ballet teacher.
Yep, she's fabulous.
Marvelous. Sad thing about that show is that the people who have been writing it all these years are not going to be back next year, so it'll be interesting to see what the fill-in group does.
And thanks.
I have great confidence in that show, though.
Okay, well, maybe you change my mind then.
All right, Ann, we'll test your viewer loyalty next year.
Yeah, Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Don't give up.
That's
I think her baby was crying because Lorelai got back together with Chris.
I suspect so, but you know, may have better taste than that. Teresa in Linden, California.
Hi. Yes.
We just have a few seconds. So, what's your?
Okay, I'm going to say the best show on TV this year and last year was Veronica Mars, and the endings for both seasons have been excellent, especially season one when she opens the door. And you don't know who it is.
Who is it? Well, what about season two? Not only are you going to get the wonderful Charisma Carpenter, who is the most beautiful actress with the greatest sense of irony about herself in all of television, opening a big suitcase full of money to tempt Veronica's father so he leaves her standing at the airport when they're supposed to go off to New York on a big father-daughter bonding post-graduation trip. That show, for people who are listening to this show who aren't watching Veronica Mars, pick it up again next fall. It is one of the great shows on television, totally underappreciated.
I understand.
It's so well written. It's so the continuity is excellent. The story is excellent. The plot lines, the characters are well drawn.
The dialogue is so full of little throwaway jokes. You can watch it three or four times and find other things to laugh at each time.
Yes, yes. And we're hoping season three goes on to CW or whatever the new.
Oh, it's a virtual lock.
Yep. Teresa, thanks very much for the call. And Jonathan Storm, thanks for your time today. Thanks.
Well, is this a season finale for Talk of the Nation?
Every day is a season finale for Talk of the Nation. We build up to this dramatic ending every single day. Jonathan,
off the Golden Gate Bridge. Tune in tomorrow to see what happens when I hit the ocean.
Jonathan Storm, TV critic for the Philadelphia Inquirer, with us from Berkeley, California. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.